Welcome to the Fantasy Amateurs and Boom or Bust NRL Fantasy Podcast collaboration for 2024. We've joined forces to bring you the best fantasy content with a rotation of fantasy experts and fantasy nuggets, reviewing the week and answering your NRL fantasy questions. Welcome to the Boom or Bust and NRL Fantasy Amateurs Questions Podcast Collaboration 2024. My name's Stuart Lord. I'm your host and a very sad person tonight because I own so many players with red dots next to them. I'm joined tonight, Nick Lords, who has too many things in front of him, but you're still on Matt Burton. How you going, Nick?
What it do, baby? Going good, mate. Going good.
That's excellent. From the NRL Fantasy Amateurs, we have Belent Peel. How you going, Belent?
Way less positive than Nick, but I'm still pretty good.
Excellent. And back from the dead, we have Mitchell Brown, who's been avidly listening to us for each week, and he's going to give us a rundown of how we've been going. How you going, Mitch?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Mate, going well. Great to have you back.
Yep. It's good to be back.
That's good. It's good. Good to have someone else to give a hard time to. Excellent. Well, look, let's kick us off tonight. So,
hey, quick, we see how Mitch is going.
Mitch, we haven't heard you, mate. What's your current ranking this week, Mitch?
30,000. It's rough,
mate. You're ahead of us.
No,
I'm 83,000. You're killing it.
I've got. I'm just working out. I actually don't know if I can make enough trades to make people to have a team this week. That's how bad it is. I've got that many red dots. It's so bad.
Yeah, I'm not in that state, but I'm still not great. I'm ranked 41,000. I've got Payne Haas out this week for 4 to 6 weeks, so that's not great.
Just look at Mitch's team. So he's got Little, Haas, Wong, Lukey, Talau, Weeks, Chris.
It is absolute carnage.
Oh, mate, you're cooked. Well, okay, well, you'll be joining Nick in the doldrums this week, bro.
I don't even know what to do. I'm hoping I came on this podcast to help me, not help anyone. Right.
Cancelling, mate.
Sell Haas to Cleary.
Talau might still play.
I've got Cleary.
Oh, in that case, you cook, bro. I don't know what to say to you. Yeah, that's it. You could come good this week, mate. I think a lot of people are in a lot of pain this week by the look of some of these questions. So how about you, Belent? How are you going overall this week?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as everyone else, really. About the same. And struggling.
Mate, the good news is that if most people are struggling and the few people with outliers who got those really good scores off Hosking are now, you know, I don't want to say that I prayed it into existence, but I did ask God specifically to get Ricky Stewart to drop Hosking and he put him on the bench. So I don't know what to say here, everyone.
Thank you.
You're halfway there.
That's it. Unfortunately, then cursed me with Haas as well. So, you know, can't win them all.
The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh.
That's right. Well, look, let's kick off with the questions. Let's start off with Edward Lord. Concussion protocols this season, and is it time for Keary to walk away? So just quickly for everyone out there this year, it is the full 11-day stand down if you fail an HIA or if you experience delayed symptoms. It's from this day that you experience those delayed symptoms. That's day zero for the 11-day stand down. So with that in mind, Mitch, being the more expert here, is it time for Keary to walk away? Because he's had a bad run, but he's kind of had a year and a half without one.
Yeah, he's been pretty good, and it's one of those things. Let's just see how he reacts to this one. If he's out for, you know, 6 or 8 weeks and it's sort of a Boyd Cordner situation, then maybe it's time to hang it up, but we just don't know yet. We'll wait for the 11 days.
Excellent. Okay. Look, Andrew Brighton has said Haas out this week, number of cheapies with limited lifespan, like Keeney, Tuapiki, and Levi. He can do Lukey to Hopgood with little or no cash, or he can get Curran or Finifuaki with a war chest to gun up this week. Gut check, Nick. Lukey to Hopgood, or would you go Lukey to Curran or Finifuaki?
Yeah, so everyone's in this boat this week, so it's a really interesting conundrum. Hopgood's got the 4 forward bench, so we're sort of worried about his minutes because we want over 65, not 55, 60 minutes there, so that's a bit of a risk. Josh Curran, his minutes have been supplemented by HIA as an injury, so we sort of had him pegged in for 45, 50, and it's been more 55 plus minutes with Curran the first 2 weeks.
And they have a 4 forward bench, well, 3.5. They got Kurt Mann, Sam Hughes, Josh Curran, and Curtis Moran.
And we're not sure what condition Liam Knight's in either, really. I don't think anyone's had eyes on him. So
he played the 80 in reserve grade last week.
80?
He played 80 straight reserve grade last week.
Okay, so he could put in 50 So there's a risk there with Curran, obviously, and then Fitifuaki. He's probably looking at minimum 60 on the edge, but obviously he's got that 6 to 8 week until Lukey's back. So I don't think any of those guys are the answer necessarily, except for Fitifuaki.
I go for Stu. Yeah, that sounds about right. Fitifuaki out of those guys for me, just because that way, if it's a bad mistake, at least he's a very cheap mistake, as opposed to all the others. Okay, Hamish Harvey. This one's for you, Belen. He's asking about Cam McInnes. What does he do with this bloke? If he sells him, he's got $741,000 to spend.
Oh, boy, I feel so bad about this one. I was telling everyone that he was going to be playing 60 to 65 minutes, and I don't even play over 50, has he?
Mate, I'll be honest with you. We were all saying that, so don't feel bad. Nick, I think we were saying that, weren't we? Like, we've seen at least 55 minutes.
Yep, 55 to 60.
That's it, and haven't seen it, so...
I don't know, like, you're considering trading out Cam McInnes, you must be in a pretty good spot.
Yeah.
Me, myself, I'm just going to hold him until round 5 because I've got 70 other fires to put out. But I don't know, man, like, Fogarty's looking pretty good. If you got no other issues, I might look at him, possibly.
That's true. That's probably a good call there to sift sideways, because I'm looking through the rest of the middles when you trade down. Otherwise, you're talking about, like, getting Adam Elliott or Max King, like someone like that, which just is, it's a different class of player, isn't it?
Yep.
Yep, no, not a good call there. Let's keep it moving. So, Nick, I'll roll back to you on this one, because one of your favourite players is, we're talking about getting rid of Lukey, and look, we'll go through most of the other players, but this one's an interesting one. Dale Vincent Vitale asks Lukey to Wilton.
It's interesting. He's got a 34 break even. He's averaged 58 this year, and we sort of have him pegged around low 50s as a keeper. So the Sharks draw, let me just pull it up to see when their buys are.
Round 5.
But when you're looking at keepers, you're also looking at the origin period. So the Sharks do play round 13. So I actually don't mind that, to be honest. Not a bad shout out as well for a guy who has job security, has attacking upside, and has a limited number of negatives, really. And that left edge is looking better defensively. So yeah, I think Wilton's a really solid option, just not necessarily going to average 58. So if you just have like early 50 sort of expectations, I think you'll do well.
That's it. I like it. All right. So Connor Hayes, we'll get back to your question, because it asks a lot about Fitifuaki, Galvin, getting rid of Flanagan, Lukey, May. So we're going to save that up for a minute. Okay. So I guess let's go to this one. I might ask you, Mitch, just for a gut check. So people have owned Zach Hosking, right? He's come off 2 amazing scores, right? 60 and 90.
Yep.
He's now been put on the bench by Sticky this week.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because I thought he played quite well. So I wonder, Stu, if he's more a sort of impact player role, and maybe he sits the first 15 to 20 off and then comes and plays the next 60 to 65 and he has fresher legs. Like, I don't think it's time to trade him out. I think, again, most players have bigger fires to put out. I'd at least wait out this weekend and see what happens. So it could be, you know, a bit of Sticky skullduggery where he wants to trick the opposition, and maybe he will end up starting. I'd wait 1 week.
Yep. Okay. I like that. With a break even of 8, that makes a lot of sense. All right. Here is Harrison Daly. Asks an excellent question. So I really love this one. He's going, he's short of wing fullback with Chris and New out. So he's got thoughts on New to Turbo. So he'd be going Lukey to Fitifuaki, and then you got New to Turbo. And I'm thinking that's like an absolute upgrade, isn't it, Nick?
Yeah.
Oh, Blint. Sorry, mate. Go for it.
Sorry, was that me or was that Nick?
Then, mate, you go for it. Go for it.
No, I was just saying that sounds like awesome trades. Those are great trades. I'd be doing that if I could, for sure.
Yeah, if that was my problem this week, if I could find a way to get Turbo in out of all of my problems this week, I'd find a way to get it in. He's been looking really good, right, Nick? Like, even the scores he's been getting have been looking like floor scores, not sort of medium scores for him.
Yeah, he hasn't boomed yet. No. So yeah, really good pickup still.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm just waiting for the
Paps,
weekend.
Paps is the easier pickup, just by the way. So if you don't have Paps, get Paps first, and then if you have Paps, get Turbo.
That makes a lot of sense. All right. Okay, so Nathan Favell, Nick is going, he's eating a donut with Chris out this week, and he's traded away Keeney last week. He's got to find a wing fullback option under 627K, which is a bit of an ugly one, because it means that you no Teddy, no Turbo, no Walsh.
I'm just flicking.
We're really
through,
like meanie sure territory, aren't we? Like, this is
That's
ugly.
That's pretty gross. That's gross.
I'd pick up friggin' RTS.
Yeah, that would be my the DPP there, and the schedule's pretty good. It's pretty barren otherwise, really, unless you boss stocks on the buy.
How many cheapies are there?
Wilson maybe. Tua Peaky got another 3-4 weeks?
Two.
Okay.
Unless Belen, two?
Yeah, it's like 2 to 3 weeks max.
Yeah, that's tricky. Yeah, I'd go RTS.
Yeah, I'd do that. Because looking at all the cheap ones, mate, like we're still talking about paying 400K for a guy like Will Woolbrook, which just to me seems like death. Awesome. Okay, so Lydia Short, so Mitch Haas is out for 4 to 6 weeks. Looks like some sort of knee thing, possibly. What are you thinking here? Knee clean out?
Yeah, I would say some sort of cartilage issue. I did hear, and I don't know if this has been confirmed though, Stu, that whatever was there seemed to be minor. So 4 to 6 weeks would be the lower end of that type of issue. I'm not overly worried. NRL player going at his pace, he'll be back eventually. But 4 to 6 weeks is a while. It makes us sort of question what we're going to do with him, because it's a lot of cash sitting on the bench for that long.
That's it. Well, look, gut check for you. Who are we getting? Like, who would you get owning Haas this week? Who do you want to get?
I'm honestly flicking through right now, mate. I have not a single idea. Possibly Yo for safety.
Yeah. Got a round six bye.
And if you could swing it, maybe Hopgood.
Yeah. No, I like that. The one guy I know we were chatting about this week was Paddy Carrigan, who seems to score well. For these type of ones, Belent, would you consider Paddy?
Yep, 100%. 100%. I think he's been playing more minutes than Haas this year as well, probably because of that knee issue, I'm assuming. But you'd have to assume he's probably going to be playing north of 65 minutes every week. I think his PPM's pretty decent as well, right? So he's going to be leading the front. He's just going to be a base stat general. So, yeah.
I tell you who I'm sort of also leaning towards as someone who doesn't have him and wouldn't mind shoring up my winger fullbacks is you could trade for Tom Trbojevic and bank 200K.
That's true. You certainly could adjust if you have enough middles.
There are plenty of middles you can pick up for that aren't too bad. It's sort of wing or fullback that's been a bit of death this year.
That's true. And look, holding a good guy like that, because either one of them you've got to trade at Origin time, right?
That's it.
I like it. Okay. Excellent. So, okay, Jeremy Perkins asked Lussick or May. We'll get to that in a minute. Okay, Dom Murray asks, Nick, thoughts on Kurt Mann?
That's a tricky one because he's sort of below the pecking order than Curran, but he's definitely got that nice break even. It's like 10 or something from memory. I'll just bring it
13.
Up.
13.
Yeah, so it's pretty low. And he's
been
really
averaging 51.
Yeah. He's the smoky of the group, but I just think he's just a little bit down in that pecking order, and he's also slightly benefited. So, 53, 48 minutes. He's looked pretty good too. So I think they look better with him on the park. I'm just not sure if he's going to maintain those minutes because, just looking through his Newcastle minutes, there's more between 30 and 50, not definitely 50 each week. So,
they've had injuries
Kurt Mann we wanted like a couple of seasons ago, remember? When we all started with Kurt Mann hoping that he was going to do this and just didn't.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
He started lock though for a while there and it was pretty solid.
I think he got about 200K and if he got off at the right point, it wasn't so bad.
Was that year or was that the year before when he was...
Well, it could have been the year before. That might have been the year before.
Yeah, 22, I think. But excellent. Dom Murray also asks, thoughts on May versus Cotter? I'll answer that one is I'd take Cotter at that point. Just due to the fact that you get a bit more safety. You like the guy who starts versus the guy that doesn't. Matthias Toby New. Okay, let's really get to the question this week, guys. The big question, because there are about 17 different questions around this one. So there's about 5 players to pick up this week that people are really interested in. So there is the 2 cheap guys is Fine Fuaraki, who's the edge player replacing Lukey. There's Galvin over at the West Tigers as well. And then there's Terrell May, and there's Curran, and there's Joey Lussick. So out of those 5 players, so Lussick, May, Fine Fuaraki, Galvin, or Curran, who is the most urgent pickup of the week? Belen, who's your most urgent one that you want to pick up?
That is pretty tough. Galvin, just because he's got the lowest break even. Myself, I think he's the cheapest on there as well. So, I'd be going Galvin.
He's 60. Nick?
It's tough because Lussick, as a backup hooker, who could be a keeper hooker based upon what's happening in the position this year. I agree with Belen. I'd go Galvin first, but Lussick's probably my number 2, to be honest. But it's just if you trust Brad Arthur, which...
You never do.
Don't.
No. Mitch?
I'd go what the other boys have gone as well. I like the idea of Lusick, but it feels risky.
Yeah. Look, for me, I've been going, who are the guys who, if you miss out this week, are probably gone? And so Lusick, or at least just, you know, you might not necessarily make your value if you do need to sell them instead of keeping them. So I'm figuring that Lusick is there. I reckon that we can wait a week on Finifioaki, see his minutes. And Galvin, I'll be honest with you, I kind of want to see one more week. He had a breakout week last week, but Mitch, you can probably back this up. I'm guessing 18-year-old after his first game is probably going to be a little bit slower the second week, having been bashed up.
Honestly, mate, I wouldn't have thought of that, but I think it's a really good point. Yep, I think that's a great point. He might be slow for a couple of weeks. Good call.
So we'll
he's
just
got a minus one break even.
That's true, but I'm saying that you can still, if he is as good as we think that he is, he'll still.
You might have another week to get on him.
Yeah, and
Aiden Caesar probably takes more of the reins as well, doesn't he?
Then Bud Sullivan for sure.
Well, because Caesar's starting, right? So
yeah, that's it. And Sullivan's off the bench. It could be that Galvin goes off this week.
Yeah.
So I want to see that possibly. And the other one really is Terrell May this week. So obviously the last 2 weeks he's absolutely hit out of the park. His PPM has been sort of 1.1 essentially. So with that in mind, is he the type of guy who we need to hop onto this week? So
if he starts.
Yeah, he's got 62 and 54 minutes last week and 60 and 57 minutes last week and 62 in 54 minutes the week before. So it's just absolutely monstering. No attacking stats apart from tackle breaks either. And some offloads. Nick, are you interested in Terrell May this week?
No, I'm just really concerned about these boys and this Roosters pack because, you know, I sort of alluded to it, I think, last week that you just look at this 18 to 22, it is just stacked and you can already see some of those boys coming in with Gus and who else came Watson. In this week off that. Yeah, so, and there's still Egan Butcher sitting there, you know, who's a quality first grader in most other sides. So, you know, Wong's made way. Who's not to say that, you know, May's role may be reduced to accommodate some of this other talent coming back through. But I just think you're going to be so disappointed with May after like 1 or 2 weeks. And then inevitably, Spencer Lenny's coming back round 9. So you're not going to hold May for that long. So he's a cash play, in my opinion. He's not a keeper play, which is really disappointing because the Roosters, I think they play 13 and 16. I'm just going to double check that. They play 13 to 16. So it would have been a good hold, but he's not. On the basis that Lenny's coming back. So that's why I don't want to just keep cycling trades like this. So long story short, I'm going to avoid him for those reasons.
Fair enough. How about you, Mitch? Are you interested in Terrell May?
No, not at all.
Excellent. So I got two against. And look, I am interested, if nothing else, to the fact it's been a little bit of FOMO on my side. It's more one of those ones. It's just a little bit of that FOMO along the lines of that if he does crack off another 60 again this week and, you know, I pick up Galvin who picks up a 25, I'm just going to be crying into my Wheaties. So I know I might pick up him and Lusick this week instead of and wait a week on the cheapies once we work them out. Now, next question off the bank, now that we've kind of worked our way through those.
Sorry, just to be just to add another bit to May, if he, let's just say his minutes are reduced to like 40 and he averages 40, which isn't unreasonable, like that's within expectations. Like, yeah, exactly. So averaging, it's a wide range of outcomes and there's plenty of risk there. So
oh for sure. Like you got to understand what you're getting into, right? Which is that they've got a stacked forward deck.
Big time.
And big time. And it could be
the gauntlet, really.
And it could be Sia Wong comes back next week and mucks around with the rotation again.
Yep.
Excellent. Yep. And I think we're all saying, wait on Curran or not get Curran? Or just wait till he gets a start, Nick?
I don't know. I don't think I'll do it, but I'm more interested in Curran than I am May, based on his pecking in the order and the fact that he doesn't have a Spencer Lenny coming back. So you can actually hold Curran and he has the same sort of schedule benefits that May has as well. So if things do look good with Curran, you can actually just hold him most of the season, which is a huge plus, whereas you know you're going to have to sell May at some point.
Won't Curran be worried about the massive strike power that's coming to the Bulldogs? I mean, they've got both Zane Tedavano, right? And Jeremiah Masia coming. The might and power of
game busters, mate. Game busters. Oof, oof.
All right. Let's move on to some of the Discord questions. Okay. So, Corn on the Cobbo. Geez, some of these names. Have Lukey Wong and Hutchinson with 140K in the bank. Thinking of getting Galvin and Fogarty, but Curran has also been good. So, I guess it's Galvin and Fogarty, or should he swap out Fogarty for Curran? Mitch?
I have this feeling about the Raiders this year. I'd be going Fogarty.
They look good, eh? Like it, but they look good.
They've got a real stink. They've got a real chip on their shoulder. And
mate, you got a soft spot for the Milk, all right?
I do. It's a bit of bias, but I love a team that's sort of been touted as, you know, cellar dwellers, and they've gone 2-0, and they've looked pretty good. Anyway, I think Fogarty's running that team around, so that's always nice as far as stability. And we just said that Galvin is a good buy. I don't know.
That's true. That sounds like a good option there. Belen, is Eisenhuth or Lussick the real MVP trades this round?
Oh, that's fairly easy, isn't it? It's definitely Lussick.
Yeah, like I know that Eisenhuth has been named at lock, right? But I'm not sure that we're really going to get the best out of him, right?
Yeah. No, I think that's the answer is Lussick, and it's not even close, really.
Yeah, look, he's not even on the Footy Statistics website. That's how much they love Tom Eisenhuth. Either that or I can't spell his surname. Jay Fox, Nick, does he hold Seyfarth in the hope of improving minutes or jump ship? And he wants to get rid of Talau. Who else to get?
Yeah, I'd keep Talau. He's in jersey 19 from memory, so he's definitely worth holding on to because Austin talked me into him, and I wasn't excited by Talau, but I'm excited for the winger that plays outside of Tommy Turbo. Okay, so hold Talau another week or so, and he'll be back. That's really rough. If you don't have Galvin, I'd just go straight down, to be honest. Seyfarth just looked off the pace, like we talked about on Sunday, I think, Stu. That's a real worry for me. Like, I put a lot of stock into the eye test of guys getting picked, and he just didn't pass it. You know, it could have just been round one jitters or whatever, but yeah, I'd be really worried about that. I'm probably jump ship.
It's true. The only other guy that I'd jump to, if you need to, is Fletcher Baker. Is going to get 4 to 6 weeks of playing as the starter for the Broncos. So obviously it's only 4 to 6 weeks. So you will make some money, but how much is, you know, hands up in the air. All right. Let's keep this one rolling.
Well, Baker's PPM isn't great. So even if he gets great minutes, he's not necessarily a PPM stud. So I wouldn't get Baker necessarily. I'd wait a week and see what the minutes are, because Wilson can play some decent minutes, can't he?
He's a short minute specialist for most things that I've seen. So he's like a 25 minute dude. Young. He's had double sets of injuries in his career, so I think they're really trying to keep his minutes short until they get some real confidence in him. Like, I think he's done like ACL and other injuries.
Yep.
All right. Isaac from Discord asked thoughts into Tola's minutes for the South bench and Murray back into the 13. So I'd say, looking at the South bench, I'm just pulling it up now. I'm thinking sort of 40 to 45 against the Roosters, because they really save everything for this match. Havili, Duncan, Kepi, and Burgess, although, yeah, it's probably 40 to 45 maximum. And you want to sell him. Look, mate, if Totola's the biggest issue you got this week, good luck to you. So you can sell him, but, mate, I wouldn't worry too much.
That just feels sideways going from Totola to May, to be honest.
It's chasing points. So yeah. If you can, it's casino time, right?
It is. Absolutely casino time.
Belen, how long is too long to wait on punting McInnes?
Me personally, I'm planning on punting him round five and then buy a round. And that's just purely because I've got so many other guys that I need to get rid of. So I'll probably be doing round five and then buy a round myself.
Fair enough. That sounds good to me, round five. Unless of course, you've got the luxury of no other problems. Bam Bam 93 basically goes, he's got Hutch in the 13, Chris in the 13 with no wing fullback cover. He's got Wong and Lukey out. He's got Hosking. And so he's thinking, can you trade Lukey to Russell and Wong to someone that's 615K? Like, this seems like your bench, Mitch. Like, just what's happening here, Mitch? What would you do if you were him? You basically got about $1 million and you got to get yourself at least one wing fullback. What would you do?
Does he have Tom Trbojevic? Because that's what I've done.
Excellent. Well, so you're saying Tommy Turbo. Okay, so now you've got about 350K to buy someone else this week. We just go to a cheap guy like Galvin or Finifuaki?
I'd go Finifuaki. That's where I've gone. So that would be my advice, because that's what I've done.
There we go. We've got advice from the man himself. I'd probably do that too, looking at your bench, mate. I would not buy Sean Russell.
Oh, okay. No.
That's like a recipe for long-term and short-term disappointment. That's like double disappointment, dude. Because you're going to be sad this week, and then you're going to be sad in 5 years' time, and you think, why did I buy Sean Russell that week? All right. Felix, he's got Wong, Tupania, Flano, Lukey, Tessie New, So he's going, who to get rid of first? Would he prioritize Wong? So Blent, should he prioritize Wong and Lukey and use Niu as a loop? Or should he try and, you know, save up some cash and get Hines after the buy?
I don't mind that idea, actually. Getting getting rid of Wong and Toot and using Niu as a loop. Oh, I really like that.
And Lukey, so getting cheapies, saving up cash to get Hines.
I think that's quite sensible, but I wouldn't be getting Hines until after the buy round, right?
Like, that's it. He's saving cash to get Hines after the buy.
I actually really like that. Yeah, it's very sensible.
Excellent. Risaf asks, is this a poor use of funds? So, Nick, he's going Tessie Niu to Galvin and Lukey to Finifioaki. So, he's basically got 500k in the bank for next week.
Nah, I like it.
Yeah, you're making cash, right? And
yeah, I know it sucks having the money there, but, you know, you might be able to pick up some good options, really. And those other guys aren't doing anything on your bench. So, and the only way those other guys can go is up. So,
that's Hutchinson to Hines money, right?
Basically, yeah. Yeah, or Cleary if you don't have him, you know, like, yeah, absolutely. So you can substantially upgrade easy.
That's it, or two medium upgrades if I like it. Okay, Manly Monty goes, who's a better option for McInnes? Is it Cotter or Elliott? And I'm pretty sure it's Cotter at this stage, like especially if the Cowboys, they're not bad this year, they're not great, so they're going to play a lot of tight games. Anyone disagree with that?
No, I don't.
What's Mitch's thoughts on Tamalolo's knee?
We know that it's a degenerative meniscal injury. Probably not dissimilar to James Tedesco. My feeling is what they're doing is really quite clever in that they're just managing his load and minutes. So they basically said, okay, he's got X amount of minutes left in his season, in his career. So they're sort of trying to optimize that, get as much out of him and make sure they're quality minutes. So as far as fantasy goes, Tamalolo is a bit of a no-no.
Yeah, but it's more along the lines of because Cotter's obviously the beneficiary from that on a week-to-week basis.
So I would imagine that would persist. They would have some type of formula that they would be utilizing as far as these are the minutes that he can play with minimal soreness and consequence throughout the week in training, and that's what I'll stick to. So should he have some improvement, they might increase it, but my feeling is they would only decrease it from where it's at now.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so if someone goes down, let's say there's an HIA to...
He, in that instance, could play the minutes, yeah.
No. What I mean is, so Cotter would get the minutes before they would tip Tamalolo over his minutes.
Look, I'm sure there'd be a strategy within that perhaps different situations would demand Tamalolo, but if it's a like for like, I would expect Cotter to get them, yep.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Excellent. Well, that just firms me up for Cotter. Elliot, I don't think he's pulled double in his life, so even with his missus. All right. So the Derg Hallway Monitor asks, do you see Lussick matching Robson scores? No. Should I bank the cash, trade in Lussick and run him through Spice? So basically he's going, should he trade Robson to Lussick? And I'm saying no, because you know Robson's going to play 80 every week.
No way. Robson plays all the way to 16. No way.
Yeah, leave him alone. So find another way to get Lussick, mate.
Mate, that is not a dig.
That's not a great idea. John Greer asks, so Belent, he's spent all his money. He's got no wing fullback. And he's got Lukey and Wong on the blocks. He's got 972K. He can either go Galvin and anyone up to Teddy / Ponga or some cheap fullback chump like Keeney, Talau, Arthurs and get May and bank some cash.
Man, I really like Turbo. I know he's not one of those two options there at wing fullback, but I really, really like Turbo. Sort of just shore up that wing fullback spot.
Yeah. If he has Turbo already, just for whatever reason, right? And you had to choose between Teddy or Ponga, who are you choosing?
I'd probably get... I was quite bullish on Teddy in the preseason, and a few people told me, kept on telling me the old, Teddy always starts slow, blah, 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 blah. And now I hate myself because once again, I just didn't back myself and just shitting in my face. But yeah, I'll be getting Teddy.
Excellent. Nick, how about you as a Ponga owner? Would you rather have Ponga or Teddy right now?
Oh, mate. I don't know. That's a coin flip. Whoever takes your fancy, I chose Ponga. Could be wrong, but Ponga kicked goals is sort of what I was thinking. But, you know, Roosters pack, Teddy's got lots to play behind there, you know. So
it looks like he's playing better too for once. He's not trying to do everything himself, which means he's benefiting from good ball.
Yeah, picking his spots, being more effective rather than the volume stuff, you know.
The only thing I'd say this week is actually it will probably benefit Teddy is Keary being out, which means that Teddy will probably do more time with the ball in his hands, more junk tackle busts.
Yep.
Excellent. All right. Shoe versus Sheck. So, Mitch, most likely players not named Cleary or Hines to turn up this week.
Oh, hang on. Can I just have 2 seconds to look at the matches?
Yeah, sure. Yep. I'll come back to you on that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, anyone on the Cowboys? Cotter? I don't know.
Cotter would need to score.
That's me being funny because they're playing St. George.
I think that's it. I only think those two, maybe Paps.
No.
Because it won't be Turbo. Turbo's not going to turn up against the Eels.
No.
He did really good against them when I saw him in 22. They absolutely routed them that week. Josh Schuster and Turbo carved them at Bankwest. I kind of want to go there, okay? All right.
You know who might actually do it? Because they always go big in round three. And I know they're playing the Rabbitohs, but I remember I picked him up round three in 2020, I think it was, and he scored like 124. He absolutely rolled over the top of Murray. I'll never forget it. I reckon.
That's fair enough. As long as Latrell doesn't turn him into Joey Manu 2.0.
Well, there's that for you.
Close to the line. All right, I like it. Let's go with this one. So, Mitch, any other thoughts apart from Teddy?
No, I don't think it's going to happen this week. As I said, I can't see anyone on the Cowboys who'll give the Dragons huge headaches. I'd go Teddy.
Like it. Okay, Christopher Lord, I'll answer this one. Mate, if you're related to me, good on you. Curran or spend a little less and go to Mann? The answer's Curran. I trust him over Kurt Mann. CSTM Grow ask Lukey and Wong owner, is Finu Fuaki a decent player? I think we've already answered that one, which is yes. Dirk Herway Monitor ask, is Terrell May or Lussick? Look, I think we kind of said that it's really flip a coin, isn't it? Because, you know, Lussick, you've got to deal with Brett Arthur. Terrell May, you've got to deal with really good pack. So
Give me Lussick.
You're taking Lussick? Valent, who are you taking?
Yeah, I'm probably taking Lussick by myself.
Mitch?
I'll just go with the consensus there because I have no reason to argue it.
I'm taking both this week, I'm pretty sure. So if I had to choose one, I'd probably take Lussick just for the slightly longer term upside. You'd be sad for 2 weeks and happy in six. Excellent. Okay. So Tigers 995, is it worth training Flanagan instead of Wong this week? No. So most likely be training Flanagan next week regardless. Look, I think Kyle Flanagan, I think as the Dragons do worse, I think that they'll force Kyle Flanagan to do more general play stuff. What are you thinking about that one, Nick?
I think I had high expectations of Flanagan and I still hold them, to be honest. I think he's still settling into the role, and the Dragons just got wrist-old last week. I think you can throw that in the bin at 25 and just look ahead to this week.
And Ben Hunt just hogged the ball the entire game.
Yep. So. And what made them look good against the Titans is Flanagan ran him around and Hunt was out on the edges.
Yeah.
I actually think, and that is a point, that the forwards really didn't give either of them enough space. And when Hunt got the sense that the game was out of control, he did what he's done the last 4 years, which he tried to win it himself. And that's not a winning formula for St. George.
No.
That's actually the absolute truth of it.
And not when your only play is to basically do chip bombs for your winger.
Yeah.
Or that's it, either for Sloan or...
It's a shame because Kyle Flanagan's actually a really good organiser and it frees Ben Hunt right up.
Yeah, he looked good running the ball.
Yep. And I don't know how Flanagan deals with that because it's a bit awkward to say, hey there, Ben, my son's better at running a team around than you, so stop doing that.
Mate, well, let's find out. All right.
Yeah, just for a bit of Dragons Corner.
I love Dragons Corner.
They really backed their defense round one against the Titans and they just rolled them through the middle, which is not easy to do against a Titans pack. But then last week, they just didn't back their defense. They just, you know, kept it almost too simple and, you know, the kicking game was a bit off and just went for the big play rather than just trying to grind and force an error sort of thing. Sides are better than us at that, you know.
Yeah. Effort was down in the middle. That was the real issue.
But I also saw that they got caught a couple of times trying too hard on the edges. So they jammed, they compressed a little bit on the edges and they got burnt on the outside a couple of times because they got guys like Bostock and Hammer who put the lead down against guys like Bird. You know, yeah, exactly.
Bird and Lomax. To be fair though, can anyone tell me how far what the running meters for the best forward was in St. George was and who was it?
91 meters?
Nope.
No? Well, it was about 90 or so.
Like 88 minute meters, wasn't it? Oh, no, Blake Laurie
was 79.
79? Yeah. Oh, that's awful.
So that's where the issue was. And I think, as I said, if your forward pack's doing that, you're gonna try and throw it wide because you can't go up the middle. And I think Ben Hunt, he's played enough footy to know that the game was getting out of control. And I think they'll turn up against the Cowboys. I don't know if they'll win, but I do think Flanagan will be better if the pack plays better. Like, no player of his size can play without a pack rolling forward. In fact, no player in the NRL can be good with that. Look, Nathan Cleary's probably played behind the best forward pack for like 5 years and he's considered the best player in the league. Then he plays Origin and he looks terrible. The the packs I match. If I played behind that pack, I'd look good.
I'm not sure about that, but yeah, no, I get your point. No, you're right. Guys like Sean O'Sullivan can come in and look decent behind that pack, right? Behind the Panthers pack. They've gone elsewhere and looked not as good.
It matters.
We get to watch Cogger this week, hey, on behind the Knights pack now that he's got the reins in the halfback seat. So
it will. So, and he'll have to do it all too because Gamble is possibly the worst 5'8 currently rolling around in the league.
Yeah, but Stu, didn't you hear? He wants to test his value to show. He wants to demonstrate his value. And they offered him 280. I'm like, take it.
Mate, 280 grand.
They're going to be offering you 100k by the end of the year.
Train and trial.
Oh no!
All right, yeah, there's a guy who like had a golden opportunity at Broncos and just flogged it up. All right, he probably stepped on Payne Haas's shoes too. All right, Matty Doyle. So, how many drinks has Ricky had? The answer is that not enough and too many all at once. George Swano 8. Would you rather get Lusitura or May? I think we've all answered that one. May or Curran? I think we've all answered that one. One will say Fath for Lusick. I think we've answered that one, which is yes. Okay, here's a great one. Valent. He's got Wong, Lukey, and McInnes, Karaz, and Rapana. Who are the trade-outs? Wong, Lukey, McInnes, Karaz, and Rapana.
Jeez.
Wong, Lukey, McInnes, Rapana, and Karaz.
I've got four out of those five, dude.
The trade, sure.
He's got 6 to 8.
Are we ranking it or are we just saying who's a sell and who's a hold?
No, he's got two trades this week. Give us the two you'd sell.
Oh, I'd be doing Lukey and Wong myself.
Yep, that's who I'm thinking.
It's pretty tricky there. I mean, like, Karaz hasn't been great, but I mean, I think his base is like 25 or something like that. So I mean, for a center, that's not terrible, you know. And like, I think if you pay them much from now, you sort of have to hold the course for a little bit.
Yep.
I think Luke and Wong for me.
Excellent. All right. Mark OG asks, any interest in Faino? Look good when given minutes against Canberra. Injury affected though, could see him getting 40 minutes with some value. So he's currently just below 400k with the DPP. Nick, any interest in Faino this week? He's a bit of a smoky out there, but at a weird price point.
Yeah, he's got sort of that problem as well with the minutes. They've got a pretty strong bench there, don't they, Stu? Safarth, I'll just pull it up. Twal, and who's the other forward on there?
Faino.
Yeah, Safarth. I just think it's really brutal. I think it's really brutal with the amount of forwards in there, to be honest. I think another week for Faino, the fact Safarth only played 20 and they just did the straight, or 15 or whatever, they did the straight swap. The DPP is so juicy though. That's the toughest part.
It is.
I wouldn't do it because Yuto, Ikemanu can play long minutes. Klemmer can play long minutes. Pole, Twal, Safarth can all play long minutes. Faino can play long minutes. I just don't know. And this Tiger squad might be the most, like, them and the Bunnies might be some of those volatile, like, team lists in the whole comp, you know?
Well,
anything could happen.
When teams are bad, they make changes, don't they, Mitch?
Yep. And that's why we try and stay away from bad teams. I mean, you might pick up the odd good cashy, but, you know, there's always huge risk associated with them. I think you're always going to get that little bit extra if you can find a good player on a good team, right? Because they're going to get all the attacking stats. It's a no-brainer.
It's true. Who's on the tools asks, is it too late to bring Tyrell May? I think we said no, that's fine, but you've got to know your risk, which is he could get less minutes any game. You don't know. Robbo's doing Robbo things. So, mate, make your choices from there. Lock and Black Wong. The Lusick wheels up. I think we said yes. So Pete D87 asks, hey guys, love the podcast. You guys are doing an amazing job. Thank you. He's got a question. Is Payne Haas a sell? Yes, he is. 4 to 6 weeks. And he went with the Ryan strategy of bin the chin. Well, mate, that's what you get for listening to Ryan, right? The lanky nugget. So I thought you're going to have to unbin the chin and instead just put him in a team and captain him this week. If you don't have Payne, if you don't have Cleary, go sell Payne Haas and go and get Cleary for 60 grand. Does anyone disagree with that one?
Nope.
Like, who's the best captaincy option apart from Nathan Cleary this week?
Hines, and that's it.
Hines against the Raiders. And so you got to find an extra 15 grand.
Yeah, Raiders and Sharks, for whatever reason, it's always a close game. I don't see the Sharks blowing them up. And they have a chip. The milk's coming. They're a top 8
team. No. The Sharks versus the Tigers.
Oh, I thought you said the Raiders.
Sorry, no, that's next week. My apologies. Sharks against the Tigers.
Oh, then could it's be 50 then Lions. The Tigers look terrible. They're a player-led team, though. It'll be all right. Don't worry. It's okay. Plus, it's good.
Bring back the four captains.
Wasn't it five?
It was, and at its best, it was five.
Oh, that's so cringy.
Oh, at that point.
I can't wait till we get to Origin and we got five captains for the squad. I don't believe what we've done. Anyway.
Hey, that didn't work for us in under-14s cricket. What odds does it have to work in professional rugby league? Like, fucking hell.
That's it. Look, I'm going to skip a few questions here. We've already answered them. The Ruck Infringement podcast asks, with Ricky's crazy antics during Teamers Tuesday, will we see Josh, Big Papa, at halfback in the coming weeks? The answer is yes, we probably will.
That's actually a really good point, though, tongue-in-cheek, is, as I said before, Ricky's likely to just start Hoskins and say, ha-ha, tricked you.
Yep.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying. Do not panic on Hoskins. He's playing awesome. He passes the eye test. Unless he's upset someone and he's got a dog, it's like, we should be fine.
That's true. Don't talk about Ricky's family.
The thing with Hoskins as well is, if he plays 50 minutes off the bench, he'll still probably bloody score 50 points anyway, right? Like, he's just a machine.
He was 60 after 40 last week, too.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I definitely would not be selling them this week.
Excellent. Jeff Priv asked, thoughts on Kai Pierce-Paul. Now, I've actually really liked what I've seen of Kai Pierce-Paul so far. He's looked really good for the Knights. The fact that he's kept his job this week and with Dylan Lucas all the way down at 22 says that there is certainly some interest there. The only issue I've got with him is that he was priced at 520K, like averaging, you know, sort of 37, and he scored 37. So for me, it's wait until he sees more than a 37 guy, right? So, yep. Okay. Jeff's Bill goes, he can grab Curran and May from Lukey and New. Is that too aggressive, or should he grab one of them and finish Fuiaki? The Curran and May, or, you know, just say Curran or May and finish Fuiaki? Belen?
Yeah, I'd be getting finish Fuiaki and one of the other two, and just bank some cash for next week, because I reckon we're all going to need some.
That's it. Now, Mitch, Shane Woody Woodward says, what happened to Little? So Little has copped a delayed HIA concussion. So are you concerned about that?
No, but I have to trade him because I'm not carrying another hooker because I'm a nugget.
Not carrying Cheese?
No, I don't like him. I told you I'd never put him in my team again.
Oh, mate. And he's the only guy walking around this week.
I got a beef with him. No, I'm just putting Coruscant. He'll be fine.
Mate, that's... you're just lactose intolerant. We both know.
That's it. I am. And sometimes I have a bit of cheese and it never goes well. I've done it 2 years straight. I'm not doing it 2024. It's like Turbo last year. It's a cheese for a year.
Fair enough. And the other one is, why bench Hosking? And I think the answer to that one is always, it's Ricky. You don't know. We don't know. Don't ask. No, you can ask. That's fine. We're a questions podcast. You should be asking questions. The casual athlete asks, with the crazy start to 2024, what would you consider a good rank like now? Nick, 30, what's your rank?
82,000.
Above Nick is a good rank. Okay. So there we go. If you're above 82,000, you're doing well. If you're below 82,000, it's not great.
Nick, I'm pretty sure Claudia auto picked and she's better than you, man.
Yeah, I've got a Bosch bench though.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, mate, those emergencies. That's what everyone looks back at the end of the year.
Did you take Burton in the end?
Yeah.
Man, if I had have been doing those early podcasts, I reckon you'd be like 50,000 higher, because I would not have let you do that.
No. I'm sweet now. No, I'm binning DeBellin for Cleary, and I'm stoked.
Burton's not, he's not going to go to the moon, mate. I'm telling you now. It's not going to happen.
He is.
No, do you know why? Do you know why? I had this revelation the other day. He's not a half. He's a center.
You've had the same revelation as like every other NRL commentator.
So he's not going to the moon. You need to get off Burton. That's like a must trade. That's a ticking time bomb right there, my friend. He's a center.
No, he's not. He's averaging like...
He's a center who can kick, all right? I know it's not a question on the podcast.
No, Burton.
He's a center who can kick. I'm just saying. They've got... That's the Bulldogs' problem. They've got a 5/8 and a center playing halves. That's worse than having Tyson Gamble as your half.
Hey, don't go too far. Tyson Gamble.
Sorry, he's gonna demonstrate his value this year. I forgot about that. All right, let's keep going.
Will Stark Zero, best edge to bring in 550 to 700K, Nick.
550 to 700. That's an awkward price bracket.
It is an incredibly awkward price bracket.
Oh, I suppose. Nah, I can't give the green light to Hosking.
No, do him. He'll be right.
Nah. You can't afford Ola. Ola Kawatu is a boss. He's an absolute stud.
I like Ola. And the Manly look legit this year.
Don't get Tom Gilbert.
He just seems to... No. Oh, Luciano Leilua, he's a smoky at 600K because he's going to average 50 looks, on the edge.
You reckon? I reckon he's carrying an extra 5 kilos that he shouldn't be.
Of course he is. He always does.
Yeah, well, it's either that dark blue jersey was hiding it or the white jersey shows it. I don't freaking know. But he came out on the field. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Were you at the game? It's like Tigers jersey's dark too.
The Cowboys have sent him over for a reason because he's failed his bloody BMI.
And the DUI and the BMI.
Oh, man.
Oh, shocker.
Teague, you got to throw Teague in there, no? Surely.
Oh, yeah. Good shout. Teague
Wilton. I'm thinking Morgan Smithies is a little bit of a shout as the DPP there. Obviously,
Lane.
Because they've the coach came out and did say that Smithies Tarpane was saying that Smithies is the lock moving forward and that they're going to...
I was just about to say, who's the coach? Yeah, who's the coach that said it? Fuck me.
No, you're right. It's not the coach who said that. But anyway, look, Josh Curran, you can go on the cheap end.
Oh, my God. Bo Fermor averaging 28. My God.
Mate, what an early preseason call. Nick, whoever you've chosen, mate, you're cursed this year.
I am cursed.
I might need to catch you next week.
It's never good when Bo Fermor burns you. I had a whole season run by Bo Fermor.
Fair enough. Mate, so you should be all right for May, Lussick, whoever else you want. Ben Vicio says, I'm not sure if I should trade Danny Levi up to Lussick or just go get Terrell May. Mate, I go get Lussick. If Danny Levi is your backup, you're in trouble. So with a one hooker strategy. All right, Poppy 1295, Balint. So he goes, thought on Lukey and Chris to Finifuaki and Turbo.
Yep, love it.
Excellent.
Love it.
He, the other half of the question was having Kotrick in his scoring 17. I'm not even going to consider that. Crazy Nuhu goes, if you can only save one man from a burning house, Mitch, if you can only save one man from a burning house, would you save Robbo or Ricky or leave them both in there?
Oh, I'd leave them both in there to see what happens. That's a no-brainer.
I'd take them both out and put Kyle Sandilands in.
No, truly, I'd save Ricky because I'd save Ricky because I love his press conferences. There you go.
That's true. I hate Robbo's press conferences. He's so smug. Jeez,
he's
I hate
a
that
wet blanket, isn't he?
You can't be that was smug when you're cheating. You just can't.
Yeah, was he the one that was talking about the video rest all dancing around the Twilight Zone or something that time? Oh no, I don't mind his presses. They can be pretty funny.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, Hutchinson to Galvin. Nick.
Nah, I'm a believer in Hutchinson, but I'm a sicko, so you should probably do it.
Yeah, okay.
I believe in him because I don't believe in Burton. There you go.
Excellent. I like that. Rory Wilbo goes, what to do with Hosking? The answer is wait a week. Brian Eric asks a great question. Would you hold McInnes and hope that Burns on the bench gives an extra 5 to 10 minutes? And like, yes, but for like 2 weeks. Have Luke and Wong fill up priority sales. Yes, wait on McInnes. That's the answer there.
Yeah, I think Mark and the boys mentioned that last night, that McInnes should be the beneficiary with Jack Williams on the edge now. So we should get an up week or two with McInnes, guys. So definitely hold.
Yeah, hold until you've got less issues. Josiah New, Balint, be honest, would you rather come first in fantasy or your team win the premiership?
Oh, can I be really honest?
Yes.
I just want the Warriors to win a premiership.
I was thinking that, mate. It's like because you guys are still hanging out in New Zealand, right?
I just want us to win a premiership. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Win a premiership, 100%.
Excellent.
I want Nick to answer that question.
No, I want the Dragons to win.
Okay. I was going to say, I would have been upset with any other answer.
Mate, and for me, after the three-peat, like, it's getting greedy at that point. I'd have to come first. Fantasy.
Oh,
because...
Oh, you're a Penrith supporter.
Mate, imagine if we get the four-peat this year. Like, after that, you know, you guys...
Oh, that'd be epic, to be fair.
That's true.
They can't do it. They can't do it.
They can. Will. They're not looking that... I know. Melbourne only put 8 points on them.
Yeah, without Cameron Munster. Calm down.
True. But he's got a groin injury. Here's a great question for you, Mitch, because now that you're finally back, how good will Cameron Munster be once he's finally back from that groin injury? Will he be himself this year?
Was it a pubic symph injury or was it a groin injury?
Well, mate, that's the thing. They can't... They can't fully work it out, mate.
What do you mean?
As in, they can't work it. They, if you've seen
who
the
can't
press,
work it out.
The doctors can't work it out. He can't get above a jog with it before it going wrong, and he slipped in the shower and re-aggravated it.
Isn't this that groin injury that last year I said we should be careful of, and everyone laughed me off the?
That's it.
Building. Yeah, fuck you guys. Okay. Well, if they can't figure it out, honestly, like they get the best of the best around there, so I don't love it. Seriously, like particularly Melbourne, like Craig Bellamy, he knows his way around it. there'd be someone down in Melbourne who'd know their stuff and they'd call in, because in the past I've worked with people where that's exactly what they did. I just don't like that. That's nasty. They could be playing without him for... He might be a bit of an AJ Brimson proposition if that's the case, in that could be...
Yuck.
Well, no, just saying, like, come on, like, as I said, when they can't work it out with the team, they call in experts and those people know their stuff. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I would imagine they're
expecting back
in
maybe around round five, but this, like, he's still not 100%. Yeah. Like, a couple of weeks ago, they pulled him because he couldn't get up to a run.
Such a gross injury for a rugby league player. And think, okay, what does Cameron Munster do? I don't know. Likes to move laterally. Well, you need, if it's groin or pubic symph or whatever, that's a bit of a problem. just as a throw out, usually when you can't work it out and it's that type of injury, there's usually a bit of a nervy component. So in and around that pelvic area, you can get compression of some of that tissue, and it can be quite gnarly, but also, unfortunately, quite difficult to settle down. Anyway, I would say he could be an interesting proposition for this year, which means we're probably looking at some of the other halves potentially picking up some of the slack in Melbourne. So Jerome Hughes, for instance.
Interesting. All right. So Tate, 67913, I goes Finifuaki or Henry. I'd say Finifuaki has the longer runway. Liam Henry will get some decent minutes off the bench this week, but his own James Fisher Harris has a what do they call it again, guys? It was like a he doesn't have a significant shoulder injury, so he'll be week to week proposition. So,
like a burner or something?
Well, I don't know, Mitch, they were saying he was losing power in the shoulder, but that it's not broken or anything like that. He's just, some nerve damage or something.
Yeah, it might be a nerve in the neck.
There we go. So, yeah. They're saying like week to week, so back in a week or two, right?
Depends. Nerves are funny things. It depends on the type of burner. If there's a bit of a disc bulge, it could be a bit longer. If it's just sort of a bit of impact and there's local inflammation, maybe a couple of weeks. Depends exactly what sort of thing it is. We'll know in a week or two, because either he'll be back or it'll be a bit more prolonged. So he's either going to be back in 2 weeks or it's going to be quite a bit longer.
Excellent. Belen, I might send you on a bit of a search for this one. Can you find the best wing fullback for under 521K? He's thinking about Tupiki.
Pappenhausen.
I'm assuming that he owns Paps, right? Because almost everyone owns Paps, but the best guy's not named Paps under 521.
Oh, man, it's pretty bleak.
I'll let you get back to me on that one. I'll go through for the next one. The next couple of guys basically asking the same sort of thing. So Lukey and Flanagan to Turbo and Finifuaki from C. Morgan. Yes. If he trades Lukey for May, we'll have 91k play with, and then he can get Finifuaki or Lussick. Mate, we've already discussed this to death.
Love it.
Yep. So Kenny Starr, Nick, ranks the most urgent buyers. I think he's got a slightly different combo here. Lussick, Curran, Smithies, Galvin, Finifuaki.
I think Lussick and Galvin are the top of the list, followed by Finifuaki, and then Curran and Smithies is just how you rate those guys and how you rate their pecking order.
Excellent. Len, any searches come up yet?
Man, there's just no one. I'm just thinking, like, I don't know, do you just pray to God that JC's back next week? Because he's the only guy that's standing out. I mean, there's Mariner, maybe? Mariner? There's just really no one else. And
he needs a wing fullback.
I wouldn't be getting on to a picky this week with only two, maybe 3 weeks left. It's like, yeah.
If you had to, I'd probably get two a picky and then just trade the current in a couple of weeks. But you burn in two trades. I hate that.
Yeah, if you have to, that's probably your only option. There's no one else. There's really no one else.
Okay, Mitch, rank the most urgent sells. Seyfarth, Rapana, Lukey, Hosking, and Flano.
Well, Lukey's number one, then probably Rapana, Seyfarth, Flano, Hosking.
Yeah. Rapana's playing this week, isn't he, Nate?
Yeah, but I wouldn't be selling Flano or Hosking, so Rapana has to go before them.
Yeah, I'd probably sell Seyfarth before Rapana, but that's probably about it. Yeah, I agree with the rest.
What about Tolu Kola for 494K as a DPP, bit cheaper there? 494K, pretty interesting.
True, he's a good handcuff to Turbo as well. If Turbo goes down, it'll be him there in the future.
Yeah, so I don't see much downside with Kola.
Yeah, that Manly attack, Turbo is generally a left, flicks up on the left-hand side as well, which is Kola's side, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, that might actually be a bad option, to be honest.
I like it.
Not a boom option, but, you know, it's a douche or a turd sandwich at this point, right?
Yes. That's true, and DPP over Origin's always nice. The guy you can just park there week to week.
Absolutely.
All right. Matthew Lippiet Sidman asks, who's the bigger fantasy killer coach, Robbo, BA, or Ricky? No, let's go around. Belen?
Oh, it has to be Ricky for sure.
Nick?
Yeah, I agree. Ricky's the most destructive.
Mitch?
I'll say Ricky, and I think the only reason Robbo is making it is because he's trying to make changes to save his career, right?
You're right. I think he's finally worked out that, he possibly got carried to those two premierships by one of the underrated halfbacks of of the last decade. So I think it's one of those ones where he's just not found any success since, right?
Wait, are you talking about Mitchell Pearce?
No, 2012? No. Nice try. No, James Maloney carried him.
2013, sorry, yeah.
James Maloney carried him to that one.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And Sonny Bill, yeah.
Yeah, and then you look at 2018.
Didn't the referees carry them to it with that forward pass?
Yep.
They had no right to win that game. You go watch the replay. That was just bad refereeing.
Yeah, and look, and Kronk.
That Manly squad was stacked.
You know what? I'm going to say I don't even count that for the Roosters. Yeah, they didn't win that one. A bit like Melbourne, they just didn't that one.
Yep. And look, Kronk absolutely carried that team through the other two wins, like along with that stacked back line. So,
yeah, Latrell broke those games open for sure, though.
That's it.
Yeah, but they needed someone to run the team around. Look how bad Brisbane were without Adam Reynolds.
Oh, side note, just into this Latrell stuff. Did you guys see the Roosters posted like Latrell? No, it wasn't the Roosters. It was maybe the NRL. They're posting like his all 100 tries 1 to 10. And his first 10 tries when he first came into the league, a lot of them were like backing up through the middle. I couldn't believe while I was watching like Latrell backing up through the middle, support play, running. Jesus, this is crazy. I was like rubbing my eyes. It was crazy. So
I should get him to rewatch him, right?
Seriously.
Man, I'm glad I don't own Latrell. Aren't you glad you don't own Latrell, Nick?
Oh, so glad. What about you, Belen? Are you stoked you don't own Latrell?
Yeah, so stoked. Yeah.
How about you, Mitch?
I'm not worried. I think, you know, he's not going to get sanctioned. He's basically, as far as I'm concerned, bulletproof after what's been going on. He's probably going to come out there as salty as anything, and maybe he will back up this week after listening to this podcast, and he's going to run his mouth at all three of you.
So Adam James Sargent asks, how long do we play the mid and edge player roulette? Oskin goes boom, relegated. Maid goes to the bench. Eisenhuth and McInnes obviously being rotated around. So many good players to their teams getting benched and reduced minutes. Any insight into essentially how to break the cycle? Mate, I think we're just living in a post-Dolphins world. Like last couple of years, post-COVID and then post, like with the Dolphins entering, we're gifted with all these extra options. And this year, we're just having to live with the fact that there's a whole bunch of half-baked options out there. So, like, there's no perfect options. Like last year, we picked up Cartwright for 250K. We picked up Ponga for what, 400K, guys?
Yep.
Once you started losing cash, like something like that, there's no answer this year. So you got to pick up guys like, I've got Rapana in my side. Why? Because how many good wing fullbacks are there?
Not many, according to Belen, and I agree.
And not many under 500K.
That's the point.
I'm waiting for Jaden Campbell to come back next week, and then, you know, I might be able to trade Rapana out, but I might not be able to because of how many other outs that we have. So, mate, you just got to...
That's basically why I gunned up at the position. Like, I got Turbo, Ponga, and Paps for that exact reason.
Yep.
There were no guys with job security who were absolute guns. Like, after JC went down, it was just like, geez, like, basically nothing there, and there were no weeks either. Like, it's just a really brutal start to the year at that position.
Yep. And then same for middles. You could have gunned up, but then suddenly they start getting injured or they get mucked around like Murray. So you got Haas out.
Yeah.
Murray's been pushed to an edge. Like, it's just rough.
Yep.
All right. Let's keep on going. So Gerald Ward, what does your predicted Roosters forward rotation looks like? Somewhat worried about May's expected minutes. You should be, mate, because you got Connor Watson in there who averages up to 40 minutes. Just say we give him 30 minutes. So you got Terrell May, you got Lindsay Collins, who played, I think, 47 last week, and that was pretty expected of him. We're a Hargraves to play close to 30, but he's in game 300 this week. They might get a little bit more. Nat Butcher's likely to play at least 70 on the edge. You're likely to see Tupanier play 60, which means that Radley's likely to play 70 plus because he's been playing 80 so far. So really, the best option here is that Watson gets 30, Crichton gets 30, which he steals from both edges, and May gets, what, 50 with Weir Hargraves, those two to swap over.
Is Watson playing 30 at hooker? Or
I reckon he'll probably get 20 at hooker, and he might steal 5 to 10 off Radley. I reckon Radley's been playing 80.
That's a good shout. Radley looked tired that last game too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Smith couldn't do Radley's job.
Yeah, but they were shortening Cheese's minutes a bit. Like, he only played 45 this week, so Watson might get a bit more of a run there, maybe 30.
That's because he's not that... Cheese is not a good hooker. He's a lock problem.
Yeah, we'll find out. Look,
premiership there, like, like, he's all right.
Off the back of a lot of other good players, a bit like Robbo and Kronk.
It's true.
No, he was a good hooker, though. He's a good hooker. Like,
he's okay. He's okay. I reckon I can name 10 better hookers in the league at the moment than him.
I reckon you can name 5, maybe not 10.
Yeah. He's between 5 and 10 for sure. That's still good.
The issue is the lack of quality out there at the moment. But
Harry Grant, Damian Cook, Robson, Marshall King, there's 4. Brayley, there's 5. Marnie, there's 6. King's Little, there's 7.
He's not better. Croker,
8. Jaden Brayley, 9.
They're just naming names. Jesus.
Okay, I'll put him at 9. I'll put him at 9 above Verrills. And I'll let him go above Wade Egan.
Above Verrills?
I'll put him above Verrills.
Well, that's good because so is the coach over at the...
You didn't even say Uppy.
That's true.
Oh, sorry. I left Uppy out. There you go. So he's 10. There you go.
Excellent. All right. Well, look, as far as the minutes go, mate, the answer is it looks like the maximum upside without someone being injured is probably somewhere around 50 minutes, likely somewhere around 40, 45. Just be aware. Zienko, who asks about... Luki, Finifoaki, Tupanita, Lusik. Yep, that's fine. And look,
is Tupanua a sell though? Just to flesh that out, he's going to get about 60 minutes, so he should get around a high 30s, maybe a 40 or something. So I don't think he's an urgent sell this week.
If Wong and Toots were still both starting this week, and like Haas was in a sell, probably was going to sell Wong before Toots, to be fair. So just because he is playing more minutes, a bit more consistent.
But he's only got a break even at 32, so there's no urgent reason to sell.
I don't think so.
Well, maybe sell someone else to go get Lusik, mate. I think that's the idea behind that discussion.
Yep.
Michael Gulliver goes, is Wong a sell? The answer is probably yes, with Angus Crichton back in there. Wong was always like a chance type thing. If he took it with both hands, he'd get the spot, but he hasn't taken it with both hands. He stunk up the place, got cut after 20 minutes last week. So, yes, he is now a sell. Guy Watkins asks, Wong and Luki to Finifoaki in May. I think we talked about that to death. Okay, so Nathan Dixon asks, he wants to go Flanagan to Galvin, and then he can go and get Hopgood, Terrell May, or Curran. So would you rather him spend all his money, go get Hopgood, or would you rather him get a mid-ranger, Blint?
I'm not really too bullish on Hopgood with that bench. I would probably be going for a mid-ranger myself. I feel like Hopgood's probably going to be a top 5 mid this year, but at the moment, I'd probably be, I personally think about facilitating some cash. So I'd be heading towards the mid-range route for sure.
I'd probably save 80 grand. I've got a bit of a third party here, which is, mate, if you go find trade flying against Galvin, good luck to you. But I would then go and get Paddy Carrigan with Haas out. Carrigan's going to play big boy minutes.
Yeah, I like that.
And against the Panthers last year, I'm just trying to remember that Panthers game. Did he not make like 80 tackles?
Yeah, it was something crazy.
Yeah, it was. It was just like absolutely ridiculous. So he made 67 tackles when he played it for 97 points last time they played round 12 last year.
Or I mean, Carrigan's got a 61 break even, so he might get a 60 to 65, let's say, Carrigan. He won't crack an 80, will he?
He won't crack an 80, but I'm just saying that you can park him for 3 or 4 weeks getting that.
Yeah.
And he's playing with absolute nuggets as opposed to Hopgood, who's got a 4-forward bench.
I suppose if you go for one of those middies, he's going to make you some cash. You can wait a week on Carrigan and just confirm it is all.
I like it. That's also a great option. All right. So guys, Vinny Shoesmith goes, would you put Hosking in reserves this week or in the 17?
17.
You play him. Okay, excellent. Mark Reed goes, when are the pods officially merging, mate? The answer is, I don't know. So I don't know if we are. I think this is the try before you buy phase, like, right? Like, kind of when you move next to someone and you're just like, hey, they're the good neighbor or they're not.
I'm going to need a serious pay rise if we're going to merge.
Fair enough. Yes, we're all going to have to get all that broadcasting cash, which is rolling around, all 8 cents of it.
I'm going back on strike otherwise.
Oh, mate. Okay. Everyone is talking about Hosking, Smithies, May, and Finifoaki. Is Elliot Whitehead a serious option now that he's back and captain? This is from Wyatt Wrigley. Nick, is Elliot Whitehead a serious option?
No.
Excellent.
No way. Yeah. Play a straight bat. Nah, overthinking it. Move on.
That's it. No, I totally agree on that one. Let's see. Steve Farthing, does he trade Flanagan or Tupania? Mate, whoever you feel like out of those two, wherever your biggest hole is, I think there's money in both of them. So I think that it's just take your pick about which position you need covered. Jordan Mitchell has no issues in life because he wants to trade Tupania, Hutchinson, McInnes, and Ponga, all 4 who are playing due to lack of scoring. Who's the best sells and buyers? mate, if you got these problems this week, just do whatever you want. Go to Willy Wonka's chocolate factory.
Probably Tupanua Stew. Probably of the four. I don't know. I wouldn't sell the last two though. Not yet.
No, I reckon there's upside to those guys.
None of them are urgent sells at all. No. Hold on to your trades where you can, mate.
If you had to, you'd sell Tupanua Hutchison to Galvin Finifuraki just to make more money. That's it.
Yeah. And that's not a terrible trade.
It's not. But it's short-term thinking.
Just go have a bath, you know, put on some music, just relax and just, you know, keep yourself distracted until the lockouts roll on, okay?
Yep. Now, Sean Mitchell goes, thoughts on Olam, used as loop last couple of weeks. Would you start him ahead of Strange or, Ben Trbojevic? Personally, I would not because they got the Sharks this week and they're probably going to get pumped on the edges. What are you thinking, Blint?
I'm thinking exactly the same, to be honest.
I like it. All right, so more Finifaki Wong Terrell May questions. I pause. I'm still scrolling down here. Okay, Callum Green goes, no hooker cover, I think you're doing Wong to Lussick. Nick?
Yep, it's a layout. Yep.
I like it. And then so that's from Callum Green. The last question, Jake Colgan, trading out Luke and Wong, wants May and needs a wing fullback under 398k.
Oh.
Or he could hold Wong, trade McInnes, but he can get the best wing fullback under 611k.
Why not just not get May, right?
Yep.
And go get the turbo Finifuaki combo. Like,
yeah.
Does that money work?
Yeah, it does. That's easily. 100% that works. May and four.
That's
plus
a 960 cost. Yeah. What's May?
May is 571. He's got 571.
It works by 9K. Yeah. Go do turbo and Finifuaki.
I agree with that, Mitch.
I agree.
Yep. Excellent. All right. And that is the last of the 100 questions, ladies and gentlemen. There were 8 pages worth. That was gross. All right. Final thoughts, Mitch.
Hopefully I don't get suspended and I'm back next week, guys.
Mate, the judiciary will hear from you. I'll call you Mitchell Bong or something like that, mate. As your defense attorney. All right. How about you, Nick?
Just this Curran May thing. It's just so tricky. And, you know, like most weeks, just hold on to the trades you can hold on to because bigger than now, you'll thank yourself when the carnage of the buy rounds comes up. So try and bank one if you can, guys.
Sure. Valent?
Yeah. Can I sneak in a question to the pod?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Because unless the breaking news comes out at 5:30, I'm probably the last person fantasy land to find out about anything. So I want to propose trade idea. Didn't make any trades last week, so I've got full set of trades. And I want to go Haster Carrigan, Lukey to Lussick with 243k at the bank.
Love it. Mate, that's brilliant. You'll get points this week. You'll make money this week on Lussick. They're two guys.
Yeah, that's sexy.
And all you got to do is you just got to think of the exit for Carrigan, which you were probably going to have to do for Haas anyway, right?
Yep, exactly.
Come round 12, or whether you want to hold him all the way through.
Yep.
Nice.
All right, thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
Awesome. All right, and as for me, I think that is probably the end of it. So this is the Boom or Bust and NRL Fantasy Amateurs Questions Collaboration Podcast 2023 signing out.
Thanks for listening today and I hope you enjoyed our collaboration. Please make sure to subscribe to the podcast and check out Facebook pages for more info.